It's Monday night and time to talk football. Welcome to the High School Football Report, presented by Cass Birch Automotive. Now, here's your host, Chris Beckham.
Broadcasting live from the Citizens Community Bank studios on this Monday night. This is the High School Football Report, presented by Cass Birch Automotive. I'm Chris Beckham. Thanks so much for making us part of your Monday evening. Now, 2 weeks and 4 days away from kickoff all around South Georgia. And actually got some kickoffs coming up later this week. We are in game mode for some scrimmages. The majority of scrimmages will be happening next week, but we do have a couple going to get an early look at their teams, and fans will be able to do the same coming up this Friday night. We'll talk some about scrimmages coming up in just a little while. Also, lots to talk about. We are, again, it feels like football weather outside, a little breeze blowing as teams begin their preparation. They are finishing up, as of today, the quote-unquote acclimation period where they can get used to things. Then tomorrow we put the helmets and pads on. And again, it's time to get ready for some football. We are excited about it, and we know that you are too. All right, lots to cover tonight. We hope to be joined by Cockle County head coach Rush Probst, who hopefully he had something going on that's going to be finishing at 6. We hope to grab Coach Probst later on this hour and be talking to him about the Cockle County Packers and their preparations for the upcoming football season. Also, we will tell you some notes from the kickoff to Men's Health, the annual media day held up in Tifton this past Saturday, courtesy of Tifton Regional Health Systems. We'll tell you what some of those coaches had to say about their teams coming up. Also, some preseason All-State teams have been released. We'll give you some information about some of our South Georgia players that made some of those teams. And also, we'll take a look at some other preseason lists as far as the USA Today and their Super 25, the first of the season. Also, the Max Preps Top 100, which does include a number of Georgia teams. We'll tell you that as well. We got some recruiting news, some commitments as we head into a dead period after today for recruiting, but we'll tell you there were some commitments over the last week and lots more concerning high school football, which is now right around the corner. 2 weeks and 4 days from right now will be kickoff for most teams, including some great rivalries, of course, the Wintersville Classic. It'll also be the first night for our new Chick-fil-A Football Friday Night radio show that'll be coming up that same night, August the 18th, so it's time to get ready for it. We will, I'll tell you what, we usually go into a break, but the phone is ringing, and that means somebody wants to talk football, which is plenty fine with me. So let's start off with a phone call on the hotline. And hello, caller. How are you?
Hello, Mr. Beckham. Good to hear you on the radio, man, since I don't get you on the mornings anymore.
That's right. Hey, man, it's always good to be talking football, right?
Yes, sir. It's great. I was going to ask you, maybe you have a little more insight, because I'm planning on going to Bazemore tonight
meet the cats tonight.
Will the practice at midnight still be open for us to watch?
Oh, yes, I believe so. As a matter of fact, I'm going to check that right now, but I believe that, the midnight practice, which is what they've been talking about, that's going to be, I believe, open to the public. I don't know how much practice they're actually going to get in, but, it will all be open to the public tonight. So.
Well, it'll just be great to see him. I went over a couple times while at work and watched Brooks County do some 7-on-7s with Pelham, and that middle of the summer, right before July 4th break, it got the juices flowing, so I got to go watch a little practice tonight, watch the test on their drive for number 25.
Amen, brother. It's all going to be happening. Starts off at 8 o'clock tonight. They'll have a photo booth and autographs with the players and a chance to dunk some coaches. You'll get Rod wet for me. Lots of face painting and stuff. That's going to go on until about 10. And then from 10 to midnight, they'll be doing the countdown and tailgating. They have some field activities for kids as well. And then, again, Midnight Madness, first chance for the Cats to practice, will be happening at midnight tonight. I absolutely love it.
Absolutely. I'm ready. Well, I appreciate it, man. Have a good one.
Good to hear from you, man. Take care.
Yes, sir.
That's right. Meet the Cats. That's going to be kicking off in a little bit less than 2 hours. And, hey, if you're ready, if you're a Cat fan, or at least if you're just a football fan, and want to go out and watch some practice tonight, they'll have concession stands there, the Wildcat Marketplace, get plenty of gear, shirts, water bottles, jewelry, whatever the deal is. Cash only now. That's tonight at Bazemore-Hyder Stadium. Should be a great, great night. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come right back. Hope to be joined by Coach Rush Probst. Also going to be talking about a lot more right here as we broadcast live each and every Monday night from the Citizens Community Bank Studios. This is the High School Football Report presented by Cass Birch Automotive, and we'll have more right after this.
now, more of the High School Football Report, presented by Cass Birch Automotive. Here's Chris Beckham.
Once again, back inside the Citizens Community Bank Studios on this Monday night. It's the High School Football Report, presented by Cass Birch Automotive. And again, we start to count down to kickoff, which we started it long ago, but it's getting closer every day. We're glad tonight to be joined by the head coach of the Cockwood County Packers, Coach Rush Probst. Rush, how are you?
Hey, Chris. Appreciate you having me on.
Hey, Luke, we appreciate your time. I know it's a very busy time, Coach, for you guys, as we're getting right into it, finishing up the, and you and I have kind of joked about this, the acclimation period. I think you guys have been getting acclimated all summer, but tomorrow it gets real. You get to put the pads and helmets on and kind of get a real good look and see what you got.
Yeah, today's our last day of that 5-day period, and then in the morning we'll start being our first. I know our kids come in at 6:40, and I think we're at 7 o'clock probably. That is our kick specialty, and I think we'll start period one around 6:15, and that'll take us right on up to about 9 o'clock, somewhere along in there, 8:45, and that'll be the first of two tomorrow, and that will be a shells practice, and then obviously we'll go to tomorrow afternoon, and it'll be a full gear deal, and then we'll go back to once on Wednesday, and then two on Thursday, and then one on Friday, and then two on Saturday. So it is a very busy week approaching.
You know, we were talking earlier, there are some schools, because if they forego spring practice, they'll have two scrimmages, and some will be playing the scrimmages Friday night, and I cannot for the life of me know how tough that is for a coaching staff to just in three, really with two or three practices, to get your team ready to play another team. But it's not much different, Coach, with you guys. You're going to be scrimmaging, what, next Thursday night, is that correct, against Coffee?
Yes, play here at Magthorpe on the 10th at 8 o'clock, yes, sir.
And that's just not a lot of time. I mean, it is what it is. It seems like, you know, with all the precautions that the GHSA wants us to take and wet bulb temperatures and all this, yet it keeps moving the start of the season back earlier and earlier, which doesn't make much sense. But it is what it is, and I know you're busy getting your team ready.
Well, it's just not very smart, me on our administration's part, to which is the GHSA, to continue this, because I think I did some looking around, Chris, as you and I've talked. Obviously, you know, coach in Alabama, but I checked over there, obviously, and the kids in Alabama, a lot of those kids, after today and tomorrow, they'll be on vacation, and some of them took the whole week off. Some were Monday and Tuesday, take the rest of the week off. I guess what I'm saying, the first day in their acclimation period is next Monday, or a week from today, which is the 7th. 8th and 9th, they don't put on pads till the 10th. So Florida, very similar. Louisiana, very similar. Mississippi, very similar. Why in the state of Georgia we have done this and put our kids in pads on August 1st, and we continue to do it. And then you said it right by saying that you're going to scrimmage, have two scrimmage games if you didn't go through spring, which most 7A schools go through spring ball,
right?
Because obviously, for the numbers that we've got, we need to decide before we spend a whole summer with kids. We need to decide sort of who's who, you know, because you'll have 150 to come out. And so, you know, we do desperately need the 10 days in spring and then the game that we play, which, I think there needs to be some thought on that too, is that we probably in spring need to go to 12 days, which would be included into which would include the ball game, because one of those days, you need 10 days of practice. You need a day of walkthrough and then a day, or, you know, take your shorts, walkthrough, practice, whatever you want to call it, but only, you can only be out there 1 hour and then play. And that walkthrough period needs to be the day before you play, because a lot of these coaches, they're going to practice in 9 days, mm-hmm. and they're not going to back down from the physicality part. They're not going to back down from the full gear part. They're not going to back down from nothing. And all of a sudden they're going to go play, which is not the smartest thing to do. You need a day for your body to recoup before you play, a spring game. And then in the fall, you know, like we are now, You know, I've talked about this. We're just starting too early. We need the first date this year should have been the 24th, 25th of August, the week before Labor Day weekend, because college football kicks off on September 2nd. We all know that date by heart. Well, always, Georgia has always been, the Corky Kell has always been the week prior to. It seems like the last couple of years, Chris, it's gone 2 weeks in front of college football. And I just think it's just too early. I mean, does Valdosta and Lowndes not play on August the 18th?
Both do. They play each other. That's right. The Wintersville Classic on August the 18th.
And that is just to me, I mean, you're putting a little bit of damper. I mean, obviously the stadium will be packed.
Sure.
But what about that 80-year-old, 78-year-old fan that's been having season tickets for 50 years or 45 years and asking them to come out in that kind of heat? I just think we're asking for a lot of problems. We're hurting our own sport by doing that. And it's sort of like baseball when you play in February when it's 27 degrees. It's just not real smart. And I think we could do a better job. And is it going to be hot on August the 24th and 25th? Yes, it would be. But, you know, you can't go much further than that, because that would put the state championship game this coming year if you moved it back 1 week on December the 16th, which, you know, I watched Brookwood in Park. You play a state championship game 1 year on December the 21st.
I remember.
So, yeah, so I don't see anything wrong with us thinking about this, because, like you said, the wet bulb, you know, the contact rule. So we got all these limitations, yet we're asking to start football when it's just too dang hot to put a set of pads on a young man.
Well, my hope is, until they ask you and I to run the Georgia High School Association, which I don't think is going to happen, but now that they have a South Georgia guy, Robin Hines, who, of course, coached there at Coffee County High School from Thomasville, maybe some South Georgia common sense over time will dictate something different, we can hope. Coach, let's talk about the season coming up. I know you've had a very busy summer. And even though a program like yours, which has been so successful, when you come into a season, there are always question marks, I know, and I'm sure there are some that you are going to try to get figured out here over the next couple of weeks. Where are some of the areas on your team where you really want to see some guys step up?
Well, I told you a couple of years ago that I thought these 2 years would be tough, and I mean, 16 and 17 and last year held pretty true. We started out losing the first four ball games, but finished up losing the quarterfinals to the state champion. I see this year not being that much different in the fact, I hope and pray we don't start out 0-4. Now, I do think, you know, we only have 19 seniors, which is a very low group. You know, we're young in a lot of areas. But with that, we do have a lot of juniors. I think 43 of them. I think we have 44, 45 sophomores. So our young classes are pretty big and they're pretty talented. So, I mean, if you look at it, I look at us every day in practice. And the one thing I notice is a lot of speed and a lot of athleticism. The one thing, if there's a tilt against us, is that we're not the biggest team in the world. You know, we're relatively small, would be that, and a little bit of lack of experience in crucial areas, because we did lose a lot of kids. But I think, you know, when you look at the strengths of this team, there is a lot of positive. You got a Division I quarterback that one of the better quarterbacks we've had. And he's also a great young man like Jay was, and like all our quarterbacks have been, high character kid. Steven has really been chomping at the bits to take over the reins here at 6'3½" and, you know, and 205 pounds, and ready to go. And so he has a major league arm. Our running backs is a big strength of ours, where, you know, two of our backs, Chris, have already been received SEC offers, as 10th graders and a junior. So we have a senior back, we have a junior back, and a sophomore back. We have three really, really good backs. And the junior and the sophomore already got offered. So that part of it we like. We have one senior offensive lineman, a senior quarterback, and a senior slot receiver. And that's it on the offensive side from senior perspective. Defensively, let me stay on the offensive side. Offensively, though, we've got the senior, a wide receiver, this kid that's come out for us this year, Tanner Wilson, that we really, really like, that hadn't played football for 3 years, was on our baseball field, and I was at a baseball game, and we were playing late in the year, and I watched him run from first to second on a double, and I saw him run from second to home on a base hit, and started doing some research on him. You had been in our program before, but he runs a 6'5", 60. Well, I don't know if you know anything about baseball. That's flying.
And he's a big kid, too.
He's a big kid, 6'2", 190 plus. So, and he's worked very hard. I'm hoping if this kid comes on, and I think he will, it will give us a very positive receiver that can run by you. And he's also big and physical. So he just got to get caught up. And I expect him to be better the second half of the year than he is first part of the year. But he has gotten better and better each and every practice this summer. Defensively, Chris, I think the strength of our defense is our secondary. When we got some experience coming back with Caleb Dawson and Jarvis Christopher, two of our basketball kids that are high-character kids that have played for us. And then Dante Moore's played for us. And Brian Merritt is a junior D lineman that's one of the better D linemen in the state of Georgia as a junior. He's really, really good. And then, of course, J.J. Peterson is obviously a very good football player. But the key to us defensively is we've got to play 25 to 30 kids. We can't just sit in there and play with the same group. We've got to be able to rotate in and out and play a lot of people, especially when you're as small as we are. So, but we got a kicker back who I think has been ranked 13th in the country in his class. Ryan Fitzgerald, he will do our punting, our place kicking, and a kickoff guy. He's really special. We got our snapper back, Noah Hightower, which helps. We got our returner back. So we do have some parts back that I like. So although we do not have a lot of senior starters, but we've got some kids that if we can just not take a beating early in the year and we stay out of the injury bug and mature a little bit and just keep getting better and better and better each and every game. And hopefully instead of being 0-4, we can be 3-1 or 2-2 off the first four. You know, their mindset's better. Last year we were 3-4 going into it, into region play. I think we got to reverse that this year. I think we got to be at worst 4-3, but I think we have a chance to be 5-2. And obviously, I'd take 6-1 or 7-0. But realistically, if we're 5-2 at the break, then, you know, we go to Camden and we also go end up at Lamb. So we got one region game at home. That's TIFF. So we'll see. I mean, there's a lot of positive here. And I think the excitement's up. Our word that I've given our kid this year is reclaim. And they've worked extremely hard. And it's not going to be lack of work that keeps us down. It'll just be that we're not experiencing certain areas.
Again, Coach Russ Probst joining us tonight as you talk about the two running backs, DeJuan Edwards and Ty Leggett. Edwards, the sophomore, Leggett, the junior. Very productive for you last year. When you've got two, Coach, and you've got more of those are the two that really stand out. When you've got two guys, is there a mindset of trying to split carries or just go with a hot hand? Do you approach that a certain way?
Split carries. I mean, I think a lot of it, we've all stole, you know, we're a copycat league, football is that. And, you know, I think that one thing when I was visiting over to Alabama this spring that I learned, and I think Georgia's and Kirby is starting to learn this too, is that I just don't think you line up with one running back. I mean, I know 2 years ago Derrick Henry was having 35 and 40 carries and all that stuff, but he was also 240 pounds at 6'4". I just think the day of one running back, the old Herschel Walker days, we're over with. New England and Coach Belichick has proven that you can take 1.2 million, which is right at $1.2 million, and invest in three free agent backs and win a Super Bowl. So, and what I mean by that is those backs are not going to have more than a 12 carries, 15 carries. And we sort of adopted that mentality when I saw Alabama this year, and I went over and saw them a bunch, and Auburn and Georgia, well, like I always do. I kept noticing that their best backs wouldn't get about 10 carries in scrimmage. And so I asked Coach, and we had that, and he had obviously seen New England, and, you know, he Scarborough broke his leg in the late third quarter in the Clemson game. You know, if you take 6-7 carries away from him during that game, Bo Scarborough may have gotten hurt, may have not gotten hurt, but definitely would have gone into the fourth quarter with a healthy back. We're taking the same approach, is that carries are going to be the number one thing that we look at. And over the course of 10 games in the schedule in which we play, there's no one can argue the fact that we got a tough schedule, not only the state of Georgia. I think that's a foregone conclusion, mm-hmm. but maybe the toughest in the country. And when you throw in that we got to play, we don't want them backs taking a huge beating. So we're going to use all three backs equal. And that way, hopefully, as season gets down in there, that they're not just beat to death and they're fresh. And we're also going to use a fourth one. We got another one that we feel like maybe tote it 2 or 3, 4 times a game. So mm-hmm. if we can use those four backs and make sure that we are smart with it, then I think that obviously we'll have fresher backs in the game, that particular game, and we'll have fresher backs when you get down to games 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, and 15, because that's when it really counts.
I tell you, you know, Coach, I was talking with somebody about Stephen Krajewski, your quarterback, and, you know, he's already got several college offers. I know Syracuse, UConn, Georgia State, there'll be others that come along as well. So much confidence in this young man. We had him in the studio a couple of months ago, and he is such an impressive young man, you know, when you're just talking to him, and I've seen film and watched him throw, and he's not been a starter. I mean, he threw 20 of 28 last year, 5 touchdowns, 292 yards, so not a lot of experience under center in game time, but you just almost, when you watch him, you think, yeah, I don't have any doubt that he's going to be able to get the job done. He just kind of exudes that confidence, and as a senior, boy, you just can't put a price on that.
Well, I think he's hungry too, Chris. I think that a lot of times when you have these guys like this, the good thing is he was here for 2 years. Mm-hmm. You know, now Chase got here going into his eighth grade year, you know, and adapted and came up through the system. Jay was here for 3 years. You know, Cole Seagrave was here 2 years. So, I mean, most of our quarterbacks, believe it or not, outside of Tyler Brown and Daniel Mobley, in the 10 years I've been here, we're going to have two quarterbacks that are homegrown, so to speak. But I think with Steven, it's more about hunger. Mm-hmm. He's a hungry kid. He's ready for these. He's too ready, and probably did too much with him this summer because he came down with a foot issue. But we feel like that we've about got that well. But you know, he's Florida State invited him to throw, Auburn invited him to throw, Alabama's invited him to throw. So he's on the verge of it's really, Chris, what Justin Fields and Harrison Highsmith does. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you look at the quarterbacks in the state of Georgia, you look at, obviously, the kid out of Cartersville. Mm-hmm. There's no question. He's either one, and Justin Fields is number two, however you want to deal with it. And number three, or however you want to rank it. Number three, with Kim Central Gwinnett, is going to Kentucky to be committed, I think, from Penn State or whatever. And then, really, there's a kid out of Taylor County, mm-hmm. kid out of Heard County. One of them, I think, is going to Ohio State.
Heard County.
An athlete quarterback. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Heard County. But I think Stephen, from what I've been told by the OC in Auburn, the OC at Georgia, the OC at Alabama, and the OC at Florida, and Jimbo, all five of them have told me that they feel like Stephen is the third or fourth best quarterback in the state of Georgia.
Wow.
And so, I think with that, he will get another or a few more Power Five. But there's a lot of schools, Chris. There's probably 10 schools out there that are waiting on how he's going to play the first 4 or 5 weeks.
Yeah.
And so with all these camps and satellite camps and all the things, actually we had 2-3 kids get hurt this year in all these camps.
Wow.
Plus what we're doing with them in the summer. you know, Peterson has a sports hernia that's trying to heal. You've got Steven, who has a foot injury and a shoulder injury that we're trying to get healed, which is close to being 100%. He's probably 95. And then our center hurt his knee back on June 7th. But we dodged a bullet there. He'll be ready to go come August the 19th. But again, I think we do so much with them in the summer. That's something else we're going to take a look at, too, because recruiting's changed. Yeah. We've got to change some of the things we're doing and how we do things. And I think the person that maneuvers through all this stuff, maybe, let me say this, you got to have a healthy team to have a chance to win a region or a state championship. And if you don't, then you're going into it half-cocked. So, to me, safety and staying away from injury is the key to this thing and maneuvering through this very difficult schedule. So I told our coaches way back in May, I said, guys, you better get 50 plus kids ready to play. I said, because I'm going to play them. Mm-hmm. And if I have to come up with rotational charts, I will, but we're going to play them. And I know y'all want to win ball games and we do too, but we're going to get a lot of kids ready to play come region time. I hope we've created ourselves some depth.
And I tell you what, if you're a Region 1-7A football fan, when October rolls around, I don't remember a collection of quarterbacks. You're talking about Steven at Conquer County, Michael Barrett at Lounge. You're talking about Griffin Collier is about to break the Tiff County all-time passing record. Coach Spire, yes. I know, is changing all the offense, so there's still a little bit of a mystery. But to have that collection of high-caliber quarterbacks in one region at one time is going to be a lot of fun to watch. And, of course, great defensive players as well. Talk about your schedule real quick, of course. We mentioned Coffee with the scrimmage. That will be a week from this Thursday at MacTharp Stadium at 7:30. Of course, Corky Kell kickoff.
Eight o'clock
kickoff in Moultrie. Norcross in the Corky Kell Classic. And that's always a lot of hype around that. And that's going to be a lot of fun to watch. Norcross, an outstanding football team. Then you go down to the California team. Vista Murrieta will be.
They come to us.
And that was, I was going to say that, a little bit different. Tucker comes here. Roswell comes here. So three of those first four are at home, which is a very good thing.
Very good thing.
Yeah. Somebody said, Holy Trinity. Now, that's the team out of Melbourne you scheduled. And there was some people asking me, they say, hey, we hear that game may be in question now. Is that still good?
It's in question. So, obviously, we're talking to a third party right now. Actually, tonight, I'm hoping to clear that up. So,
okay.
Whether it's going to be them or who it's going to be or whatever. But if you pull up their website, they don't have us on the deal, and so it's been a tough day to deal with that. But no, there's nothing in concrete about that game. What makes it bad for us is our homecoming game, and it's a game on the 29th. If we don't find a ball game, which I can imagine, surely. I mean, and sometimes you don't want to find a ball game. There was a couple of times at Hoover we only had 9 games, but in Alabama. You didn't have an open date, so really I sort of liked it. But here, where the open dates are built in, I mean, I don't want to sit there and don't play football from September 23rd, and our next game is October 13th. That's ludicrous. So, we have an open date on October the 6th. So, what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to look and find a game, hopefully on the 29th. But if not, I mean, it's on the 6th, then we'll have to call the 29th or open date. But the problem is you're either going to play somebody really, really bad that don't want to find a game, but would if you paid them enough money, or you're going to find somebody really, really good. And, that's going to load up an already loaded schedule.
Sure.
So,
yeah.
And because like you said, you've got Norcross, who to me, is one of the better teams in Georgia this year. Now, we're not going to beat them because we're better athletically. If we have a chance to beat them, it's going to be because of how we run our program throughout the summer and how we do our camp and how we do the things that we do, a little bit unorthodox, and give us a chance to beat them. And cause we have never beat them. We played them two other times in semifinal games, and they were state champions in 13 and 12, and they beat us, which in 12 they were better than we were. There were no doubt. They could not tackle Alvin Kamari that night. and they were been 13. That was a tough pill to swallow because we should have won that game. And so we messed our own self up, and we'd had it at home, we probably would have won it, but we didn't. And so anyway, then you got the team out of California, they're a good football team, and then Roswell. I mean, you know, in the team of California, then Tucker, who beat us last year, has got everybody back. I think they lost seven players.
Wow.
And then you got Roswell. And then you go up to Brookwood, and Brookwood beat us in 7-on-7 this year up there at the Corky Kale. And I'll be honest with you, I thought they were just talented. Outside of Norcross, I thought they were the next most talented team that we saw in the 32-team Corky Kale 7-on-7 deal. So, Brookwood's going to be a hard game to win at Brookwood with all the things that came with last year's two games here. So, and then we end up with our big rival, Valdosta, that'll come here and play on the 23rd. So our first six, so really looking at this seventh game, Chris, and trying to find that seventh game, we got to be very careful.
Yeah.
And I told our AD today that if we find one, we need, and it's a boy dog, and they agree to play, then we need to play on the 29th. We don't need to play on the 6th. Yeah. We're going to need those 2 weeks to heal up from these ball games and to get ready for region play. But I'm telling you, I don't care what Camden's got athletically. And I know Bob's trying to recreate a different mindset over there because they've been down the last couple of years. Bob Spires, that football coach, number one, known him a long time.
Mm-hmm.
All the way back to his days at Lexington Catholic. And I was in Mobile, and then he's going to get that thing turned around. And it ain't never easy to go to Camden County and play.
That's
never.
True.
So that will be tough. And then Tiff, like you said, I've heard a lot of people tell me that Tiff is going to be as good as anybody in our region. And so when you look at that, and obviously Lounge has got great players led by a very good quarterback, a really good running back, and a host of people. So it's a big year for football on every level. If you're a Falcons fan, you got to be excited. If you're a Georgia fan, you know, you got to be extremely excited about Kirby's second year and going and playing Notre Dame up there week two. You got Alabama and Florida State that opened probably in the dome up there. That's going to be a 1-2 or a 1-3 matchup.
Mm-hmm.
And then high school football, I just think this year there's a lot of parity and a lot of teams that have a chance to win this thing. I don't think there's anyone's favorite. Last year, if I'd have been on your show, I knew last year in May that Roswell and Grayson were going to be in the finals.
Yeah.
And Mill Creek and the future were going to be in the semis. I thought the winner of us and Lowndes last year to win the region would finish fifth in the state of Georgia, and the other one finished sixth or seventh. And but this year, I don't see that. I don't see a team out there that's just so dominant that they can't be beat like those two or three or four teams were last year. So it is exciting from that perspective. I think there's a lot of good football in this state, and I think there's going to be a lot of good ball games in all classifications.
It's going to be a great year, as it always is, and as always, the Cockwood County Packers will be right in the middle of it. Again, Coach, keep them healthy. Get some good work in for the next couple of weeks, and I'm going to be in Moultrie on the that Thursday night against a good Coffee team. Robbie's got a bunch back on his bunch on his team as well in that 6A division, so I want to see both of you guys go at it and get ready for the season, Coach. And listen, stay in touch with me about that TF game. When you find something out, if you let me know, I'd appreciate it.
I will. I'm going in my 10th season here, and I'm looking forward to it. My 29th overall as a head football coach. And
wow.
I'm just as excited. Tonight, I won't sleep a wink getting ready for tomorrow's practice because that's just the way it is. That's the life of a football coach and all over this country tonight before the first day of fall camp. But looking forward to it. Chris, appreciate you having me on, and we'll talk soon.
Good to talk to you, Russ. Take care.
Thank you.
Coach Rush Probst, head coach of the Cockwood County Packers. Again, we had I'd actually just heard earlier today about the game with Holy Trinity, and I don't know, again, if they got a signed contract, I don't know why that game is not going to happen, but it sounds like that, just from hearing Coach speak, that the probability is it will not happen, and we'll have to wait and see if another game is found. And if so, we will let you know as soon as we find out. But nonetheless, if it does happen, if it doesn't happen, if they replace it, if they don't, Norcross, Vista Murrieta, Tucker would load everybody back. Roswell We're going to talk about Roswell as one of the seven teams in the Max Preps Top 100, seven Georgia teams. At Brookwood, Valdosta, Camden, Tift, Lowndes, no breaks in that schedule. The Coffee County usually finds a way to hold their own, and I expect no less this year. We'll take a break and come right back. We've got some more, again, some of those all-state teams, some of those preseason top 100 teams, and more coming up right after this. Again, broadcasting live from the Citizens Community Bank Studios, this is the High School Football Report brought to you by our good friends at Cass Birch Automotive. We'll have more right after this.
And now, more of the High School Football Report, presented by Cass Birch Automotive. Here's Chris Beckham.
All right, back inside the Citizens Community Bank Studios. This is the High School Football Report each and every Monday from all year round. Monday from 6 to 7 right here on News Talk 105.9 and online at ValdostaToday.com. And also remember, we put up each of our shows on podcast about 30 minutes after the show is complete. You'll be able to find it at ValdostaToday.com. The easy way to find it is go to our social media pages on Twitter at HSF Report on Twitter. And also the High School Football Report on Facebook. We'll post a link to the show. If you happen to miss some of Coach Russ Probst's interview, you can go back and listen to it again or anything else that you would like to hear again. So, and once again, thanks to our great friends at Cass Birch Automotive. I tell you what, the summer clearance is going on right now. You want to talk about deals going on. As hot as it's been outside, that's as hot as the deals are at Cass Birch. Go by and check them out. You'll be glad that you did. All right, the Max Preps, every year they... And it's kind of a fool's errand to say we're going to rank the top 100 teams when nobody's played a game. It's all expectations. So there's no use to get mad and argue and say, we should be higher, we should be lower, we're not in there at all. Doesn't matter. Nobody's played a game. All this is fodder for talk, for guys like me and for folks like you to talk about and say, well, I wonder if that's true, or are we going to be that good, that kind of thing. So it's all talk. However, it's out there, and we like to talk about these kind of things. They do the top 100. I won't go through 100, but I will tell you the Georgia teams that are ranked. Roswell, again, they're going to be opening with the Coffee County Packers. Max Preps has them ranked as the 89th best team in the country. Buford checks in at number 80. Number 70, the Tucker Tigers, who Coach just mentioned. They're on the Packers schedule as well. Coffee County comes in at 57. The reigning 6A state champs, the Valdosta Wildcats, come in at 49th. Cartersville, of course, with the big quarterback, Trevor Lawrence, is going to Clemson. They come in at 38. And we'll run down your top 10. Number 10, Long Beach Poly, Matt Corral, who is the quarterback who just committed to the University of Florida. Quarterback's Long Beach Poly. Number 9 is Bergen Catholic out of New Jersey. Centennial High School from Corona, California is number 8. DeSoto, Texas is number 7. The Grayson Rams, number 6. Of course, defending state champions. Coach Heron moves over to South Carolina. They still got plenty of Division I talent on that team. They've got them ranked number 6. Number 5, St. Thomas Aquinas out of Florida. 3 straight state championships down in Florida, and with just a ton of talent. The Blades guys who played at Miami. Al Blades Jr. is in that secondary. Asante Samuel, another familiar name, he's in that secondary as well. St. John Bosco out of California is ranked 4th. And on the opening weekend, I believe the opening weekend in Florida, they will play at St. Thomas Aquinas, an early 4-5 matchup down in Florida. IMG Academy at number 3. Bishop Gorman from Las Vegas. This is an incredible statistic. Bishop Gorman, another national power. We have all talked about them before. Over the last decade, Bishop Gorman has more state championships than they have losses. Let that sink in a minute. They've won 9 state championships, and over the last decade, they're 141-7, including 54 straight. That streak continues right now. And number 1, Mater Dei out of Santa Ana, California. Now, you talk about tough schedule, and listen, Coach Probst, I agree, probably the toughest schedule in Georgia. You play Roswell, you play Tucker, you play Valdosta. They're all ranked in the top 100. Mater Dei plays 3 of the top 10 teams in the country. They're going to play Bishop Gorman. They're going to play Bergen Catholic out of New Jersey. They're going to play St. John Bosco out of California. Listen, if you're going to be number 1, back it up. And they're going to do that this year. So 7 Georgia teams, 9 Max Preps, top 100. Texas has 13 teams. California and Florida have 12 each. Georgia is fourth with 7. So we'll see. And again, they're just the preseason rankings by a bunch of sports writers. Nothing to get all upset about, or if your team's not up there or not as high as they should be, that's all part of it. I mentioned this past weekend we had the 11th annual kickoff to men's health. It was held at the Tift Regional Health Systems Event Center in Tifton, and we have 6 coaches from the Tifton area come and give some previews of their teams, and some pretty good teams represented. Coach Probst mentioned the Tift County Blue Devils. Coach Ashley Anders was there to talk about the Blue Devils, and he said this is the largest class that he has had in his 5 years at Tift County, 2 of those years as the head coach. This is his 3rd year as the head coach. 112 players on the varsity, 31 seniors, which is a very large class. 7 starters back on offense. Griffin Collier is 242 yards away from breaking the school's all-time passing record held by Worth Bowers, who took him to a state championship game. Griffin is a 3-year starter. I don't remember the last time Tifton has had a 3-year starter at quarterback, but he is. And that 242, they open up against South Effingham over in that Georgia Southern Classic, the Irk Russell Classic at Georgia Southern. I mean, he's got a puncher's chance of breaking that the first night. I'm not predicting that he will, but first couple of games, I would think he would have that record in his pocket. Coach Anderson, the biggest offensive line that he has had in 5 years, led by Chess Jackson, who over the last week committed to Appalachian State, 6'4", 285. Austin Williams at the other tackle, 6'3", 290, so he's got some size. At running back, they lost their big runner from last year, Shamel Johnson. Watch out for that name. He's a senior, transferred in from Metter High School, where he was an all-region quarterback, but they run the option, so he's a runner, not a passer. He'll be getting some time at tailback along with Mike Jones, who is a junior who they're pretty high on. The receiving corps at Tift County is, again, loaded. Rashad Bateman is already committed to Minnesota. Big-time basketball player as well as football player, going to play football in college. Cam Cobb, an explosive receiver, also a great return man, took a kick and a punt back for a touchdown last year. Otis Jackson, another big-time target as well. Defensively, they're less experienced. They're moving to a four-man front this year. Andrew Johnson has been offered by everybody under the sun, a middle linebacker, 6'2", 229. Runs about a 4.5, 8.40, played defensive end last year. He'll be running the middle this year. Brandon Jones back in the secondary as well. Watch out for this kid, a sophomore, Jeffrey Butler. They call him Ruff. Big-time secondary player as well. So, yeah, the thing about Tift County, their expectations are high, and I think they have the thought of, listen, they know Cockwood County is going to be good. They know Lowndes is going to be good. They know at some point, maybe sooner than later, Camden County is going to be right in the middle of it. But they say, you know, we've got a lot of talent, and we're ready to be crack into that upper top two in the region. And for all this talk about, well, on paper this and well, we know this, we don't know anything now. We don't. I mean, you don't know until you see them play. Tift County opens their season, I mentioned, at the Irk Russell Classic. They will scrimmage Turner County on Thursday, August the 10th, at the Birdie Field in Tifton. Same night, Colquitt and Coffey are going to be playing as well. So that's the report from the Blue Devils. Also, other teams that were there, other coaches that were there. Ben Simmons, the new coach at Worth County, taking over for Jason Tone. Ben Simmons coming from Tift County. Kind of the takeaway from him, they're changing. Worth County's been running that wing T. Ben Simmons says, I love to run the ball, but we're going to be more balanced this year. We're going to throw the ball more than we have, a little bit more of a spread attack. Lance Eldridge is a quarterback there. He started last year. Only threw for 549 yards last year. Again, they ran the wing, too. You're not going to throw for a lot. But they like what they see in him. Again, they don't have a lot of numbers back. Lost a lot of starters from last year. But he feels like they do have athletes, which they always do, at Worth County. And talk about scrimmages. Maybe the best scrimmage in South Georgia this week is going to be Worth County at Fitzgerald Friday night. Tucker Pruitt, the new coach of Fitzgerald. Ben Simmons, new coach at Worth County. And, again, they're only going to have a couple of days practice. You start tomorrow. They'll practice Tuesday and Wednesday. I would imagine Thursday's kind of a walkthrough day. You're not going to go full practice the day before a game. So really 2 full practices, and you're playing somebody else. Now, that's a scrimmage, but still, that's a lot to ask. Talking about Fitzgerald, Tucker Pruitt, the new head coach of the Purple Hurricane, was there. And, again, interesting story, a little bit like Worth County. Fitzgerald, obviously, played for the state championship the last 2 years. I have unofficially crowned them the state AA public school champion. They lost to Pace Academy 2 years ago, lost to Benedictine last year. Neither of those schools is public. They're both private schools. They play public school ball, and I get that, and that's a whole other conversation. New coaching staff, Taz Dixon, a very familiar name around these parts, is the new defensive coordinator there. One thing they do have is James Graham. And there aren't a lot of schools that have a James Graham. Unbelievably talented quarterback, has started since he was a freshman. He can run. Tucker says, hey, this kid can throw it, and we're going to throw a little bit more this year. Montrell Harris, a great receiver. Where they're going to be lacking is up front. One starter back on the offensive line. He said, we've got to find some depth there. Two great linebackers, Dontarius Millsap and Marquelin Lundy at linebacker. Millsap was the team's leading tackler last year. Short on numbers in the secondary. So I won't say rebuilding at Fitzgerald because they rarely do. They got 103 players for a AA program. That's a lot. He'll find some depth there, but there will be some changes this year. So, again, they open up Friday night in their scrimmage against Worth County. Irwin County Coach Buddy Nobles was there real quick. They started five freshmen on defense last year. Now, the old axiom goes, for every freshman you start, you're going to get a loss. They were 8-5 last year. Matched right up. But that means they'll be better this year. Five starters back on offense. Will Stevens at quarterback is a good-looking kid. He won one of the contests at the VSU passing camp over the summer with Kerwin Bell. Will Stevens is a good quarterback. Two great linebackers, DJ Martin and Davion Pollard. Irwin County could make another run at it this year as well. New coach Leroy Hood, the new coach at Turner County, taking over for Ben Simmons. His first head coaching job, he coached defensive backs at Tift County last year. He said, we're very young. Again, a talented quarterback, and that's kind of a recurring thing. Tyler Moore is a great senior, threw for 2,278 yards last year. Now, the only problem is this year he doesn't have Tamarion Terry catching a lot of those balls. He's down in Tallahassee catching them for the Seminoles. But Tyler Moore can play, and he's also their best defensive back as well. Coach Hood said, we don't have a lot of experience. We have zero shortage of athletes. We got some guys who can run. It's just a matter of coaching them up. They'll scrimmage Shaw of Columbus this Friday, and then they'll scrimmage at Tift County on Thursday, August the 10th. So that's the update from Turner County. Did I miss anybody? Oh, Cook. Bobby Jones was there, of course, in his third year with the Hornets. Tough schedule as well. Cook plays a very tough schedule. They'll start off scrimmage against Lee County on August the 11th. Again, changing their offense. New coaches. Bill Wiles is their new offensive coordinator. They're moving to a single wing. Now, Coach Jones said at the media day, he thinks there's only one other team in Georgia that runs a single wing. I think it may be Clinch County, Coach Jim Dickerson. But they're going to do mainly a run-oriented attack. And, of course, everybody thought that that would be featuring Brandon Doe. But, well, we all know what happened with Brandon Doe, got himself in trouble. And so it looks like now, getting the bulk of the carries, maybe Darius Cleveland. He ran the ball some last year. He started the defensive back, and he's going to be assuming the duties of running back this year. Does have two big guys up front, Coach Jones' son, Brock Jones, 6'2", 265, and Jalen Wilcox is 6'4", 285. He's also a pitcher on the baseball team. I ain't charging the mound at Jalen Wilcox, 6'4", 285. I hope he doesn't plunk me, but if he does, I'll give him a mean scowl. That'll be about it. So had a great time. We always appreciate our friends at Tiff Regional hosting the kickoff to Men's Health, and we may change it up some next year and try to get some more teams represented up there. But it's always good to see those coaches, and we always appreciate their time. We'll take one more break. We'll come back and wrap it up. Some All-State teams have been announced. We'll tell you some local guys on that and more on the High School Football Report, brought to you by Cass Birch Automotive, as we broadcast live from the Citizens Community Bank Studios. We'll have more right after this.
Now, more of the High School Football Report, presented by Cass Birch Automotive. Here's Chris Beckham.
All right, wrapping up another great Monday on the High School Football Report, broadcasting live from the Citizens Community Bank Studios. Citizens Community Bank, with locations in Hayhira, Morven, and two in Valdosta. Hey, remember, the anniversary scavenger hunt is going on. Their clues are posted monthly on social media, so follow Citizens Community Bank on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And 90 years strong, starting back in 1927, still serving South Georgia today. We appreciate those fine folks and everything that they do. Also, reminder, follow us on social media, Twitter, HSF Report on Twitter, and also at the High School Football Report on Facebook as well. We post updates throughout the week, and especially that's really going to be ramped up now as we get closer to the season, so make sure you follow us there. And if you want to hear this show or any of our past three shows replayed, you can do that via our podcast. We'll place the link on there shortly after the show is over in about 30 minutes. You'll be able to follow everything there. And also make sure you tune in to the station each and every morning from 6 to 9 to hear my main man, Steve Nichols, in the morning drive. He'll keep you updated on news and all the other stuff going on. So appreciate Steve letting us borrow the studio here every Monday night. All right, real quick, a couple of All-State teams are out. First of all, we'll go to the Recruit Georgia preseason All-State teams. They break it down by classification. A lot of South Georgia guys from 7A. These guys were all on the first team. Lowndes High quarterback Michael Barrett. Tift County offensive lineman Chess Jackson. Lowndes offensive lineman Jalen Goss. Cockle County kicker Ryan Fitzgerald, as well as Packer linebacker J.J. Peterson. And Tift County's Cam Cobb, the first team kick returner. In 6A, led by athlete Jace Rogers from Valdosta High School. Junior wide receiver Coffey as Milton Jackson at wide receiver. Houston County's Trey Hill on the offensive line. Some other Coffey Trojans on defense. Defensive end Derek Newton, with 23 sacks, led the state last year. Jay Gaskin at linebacker and Jarquavius Jefferson, who had 8 picks last year at his cornerback spot. Also, Jacoby McLean, linebacker from Valdosta, and also made the first team there, as well as safety Otis Reese from Lee County. 5A Damian Pierce, the running back from Bainbridge. For his senior year, he's being recruited by everybody. Once was committed to Alabama, but no more. And a couple of Ware County Gators, offensive lineman Jalen Strickland and linebacker Ernest Jones. In 4A, the only representative from South Georgia is Cairo offensive lineman Riley Maynard. In AAA, well, this Coast County Cougars loaded on defense. 4 of the starters on defense of the All-State team from Coast County High School. Jaleel Taylor on the defensive line, Quay Walker, the Alabama committed linebacker, Adarius G., the leading tackler returning in the state, and a South Carolina commitment, also at linebacker, Jamie Robinson, defensive back, who is outstanding on both sides of the ball. Also, Courtney Perkins, from offensive lineman from Monroe. Real quick, in AA, James Graham, quarterback from Fitzgerald, Dontarius Millsap, the linebacker from Fitzgerald, and Thomas, the defensive back, Charlie Thomas. And wrap it up in single A, Clinch County's Charles McClellan at running back, also John Mincy on the defensive line, Tresman Marshall, a junior at linebacker, Miller County running back Chris Stovall, Mitchell County offensive lineman Devin Hicks, Turner County's Tyler Moore, the quarterback I was telling you about, is on there as an athlete, as well as Quevin Lawson, defensive lineman, who is a monster, Randolph Clay's James Mock, and Charlton County kick returner Raquan Anderson. He is a Florida commit, so keep your ears open for some of those guys coming up this season. That's going to wrap it up for us tonight. Again, you can listen to the podcast if you happen to miss any. We'll be back next Monday night talking about some of the few scrimmages that are happening this weekend and previewing an entire weekend full of scrimmages the following week. And again, thanks to our great sponsors, the folks at Cass Birch Automotive, Citizens Community Bank, and Peaceway Counseling and Mediation Services. Thanks to Rush Probst for joining us tonight. Most of all, thank you for joining us each and every Monday right here on the High School Football Report. Have a great week.